الله حفظ دوستان عزیز گرامی. Dear beloved family and friends, once again I have the great bounty and the pleasure of engaging in an interview conversation over Skype, actually not the phone, with my very dear beloved husband of our beloved Manushi Jan. And I am going to ask Mr. Khais to introduce himself and continue. And I'm very grateful for your time, sir. Aloha,
thank you. Aloha, Mirzajun. Thank you very much. Khairi Manu. I had to think about this for a little bit, and because Mama Shidroch, as I call her, I've only known her physically. I've met her only twice in my life, and that was both in November and December of 1979. But before we get to that, I'd like to begin the story at the moment that we are actually want to commemorate, and that's the 25th anniversary of her passing, or her martyrdom, in 1982. It was actually, she was martyred on the 4th of January, but it was actually, I think, on the 7th of January that I received a call at my work from a Baha'i friend in the Netherlands who told me that they'd received confirmation from Iran that my dear Mama Shidroch was executed by the Iranian authorities. Although the situation had been tense, I was shocked. I, you know, spoke with my supervisor, and he immediately allowed me to go home to Haarlem. We used to live in a city in Haarlem in the Netherlands. And for me to find words to tell Manushit, my wife, who at that time was expecting our eldest son, Basir, as you just mentioned, that on January 4th, her dearest mother had been martyred, together with six members of the Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of Tehran. So that was sort of the thing that we're trying to celebrate, to commemorate this coming January. It started, actually, I first met Mama Shidroch, as I call her, on a blustery Thanksgiving weekend in November of 1979, which was about 1 month before my planned wedding with Manushit. And Manushit, of course, is her eldest daughter. I had met her in Tacoma, which is a city in the state of Washington on the west coast of the United States, where I was attending a university called the University of Puget Sound. And she was there as well, and we were both taking some classes together in business administration. Okay. She had told me that she was a Baha'i, a follower of Baha'u'llah, but, you know, for me, coming from the Netherlands, I'd never heard of it, so... And I did not pay much attention until around the new year. So this is the new year of 1978 going into 1979. Mm-hmm. I felt increasingly concerned, you know, with the lack of progress in the world, and a sense of doom and foreboding sort of took hold of me. Interestingly enough, you know, something was set in motion, but you know, more on that later. At the end of sort of December, in our sort of Christmas break, holiday break from university, a Dutch friend and I traveled on a little vacation trip down the West Coast, and we met up, did some sightseeing in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills. And lo and behold, in the middle of one of the prime shopping streets, I met Manushit. Oh. So the question to ask, you know, was this destiny? And I really wonder about, you know, how mysteriously God works his ways. You know, something changed in my heart that day, although I could not yet fathom its import. After the holiday break, we met more often, and I had started reading God Laughs Laughter and Thief in the Night, both books written by our dear Bill Sears. And particularly his last book provided me, you know, coming from a Calvinist Christian background, this sort of an opening to a door, and gave me the vision and understanding on the future of mankind and its civilization. Yes. Although the near term looked forlorn, the far distant future looked incredibly bright. And as such, I understood and accepted the revelation from Baha'u'llah on May 22nd, 1979. In June of that year, I was supposed to move to Phoenix in Arizona to do my graduate program at the American Graduate School of International Management. And as I was preparing my move, I had realized that I'd fallen in love with Manasheet, this beautiful and spiritual young Persian lady. Clumsily, of course, I asked her to marry me, and she graciously accepted. We got engaged in September 9th after I had gone home and asked for the permission of my parents, and the wedding was set for December 22nd, 1979, in Tacoma in the state of Washington. So, but prior to this wedding, I had arranged a cheap ticket to fly from Arizona to Tacoma for the Thanksgiving weekend to see Manasheet and her mother, who had arrived from Iran. Mm-hmm. And I ended up arriving in Tacoma well beyond midnight due to a major snowstorm in Denver. As you can well imagine, I was exhausted after traveling a whole day and sitting in crowded airport terminals. I'd hugged Manasheet, but wasn't really sure how to approach Manasheet's mother until Manasheet nudged me along and I embraced my mother-in-law-to-be. And that was the beginning of another loving relationship. It is from that time I sort of dubbed her Mama Shidroch to sort of distinguish her from my own mother. And I saw in her the same beauty and spirit as her daughter, combined with a beautiful smile and a wonderful teasing sense of humor. I loved her from then on. I suppose it may sound strange or abnormal in many societies where to have a close relationship with your in-laws, but for me, this family, which includes Manasheet's brothers, her aunts, uncles, became my true family, my Baha'i family.
Even her cousin Mehrdad?
They came later. I mean, I didn't know you at that time, but
yes.
That extends to that. But I didn't want to make the story too long.
You're okay.
Thanksgiving came and went, and then December break was upon us. So again, I traveled to Tacoma for my wedding, mm-hmm. and met up again with Mama Shidroch, and also Baba Manucher, Manasheet's father, had arrived. We got married on December 22nd, 1979, and this is, we should also place this in context. This was the time of the hostage crisis in Iran, and difficulties in it. And it was quite a blessing that the parents of Manasheet were able to come at that difficult time. It was on New Year's Eve, we had to say goodbye to Manasheet's parents and family because we were going to fly to Holland and introduce ourselves, my new bride, to my family in Holland. And so we said goodbye and to Manasheet's parents, and actually not realizing then, of course, that this would have been the last time that we would see Mama Shidroch.
Hmm.
Afterwards, Manasheet had told me that her aunts had tried very hard to persuade her to stay in the U.S. It was, as I mentioned, it was the time of the U.S. hostage crisis, and the situation in Iran looked pretty bleak. Mm-hmm. However, her determination was invincible. She had said that when our beloved guardian had exhorted us, the Iranian Baha'is, to pioneer, we did not heed his call. We let ourselves down. Now that the Universal House of Justice bids us to maintain our posts, will we desert them and fail a second time? And this is a quotation from the In Memoriam that is in the Baha'i world of 1979-83 period. So she and her husband returned. Manasheet and I, after I had graduated in May 1980, moved to the Netherlands, and I had accepted a job in Amsterdam. And we found an apartment in Haarlem, and by September 1981, Manasheet was pregnant with our first son, which would be Basir. In the meantime, the situation of the Baha'is in Iran had worsened. Their faith was not recognized in the Islamic constitution of the republic. Persecutions heated up, and the members of the Baha'i institutions and other prominent Baha'is were imprisoned, tortured, and killed. Many disappeared without a trace. And I think, I think it was early November 1981 that we learned that Manasheet's parents were arrested by the Islamic Revolutionary Guards. Mm. Apparently it happened, during a routine call. The guards discovered at their home an assembly meeting in progress for which Mama Shidroch and her husband were the hosts. They and six members of that assembly were arrested on November 2nd, 1981. It took some days, you know, of inquiring and waiting for us at the time, you know, until we were informed that they were imprisoned in the notorious Evin prison in Tehran. Actually, around that same time in November, I was about to leave for England for a 4 to 5 week training course for my work. And I remember that as part of the training, I had to do a presentation just to, you know, to learn presentation skills and to demonstrate them. And I do remember I did this on the plight of the Baha'is in Iran and more specifically on my in-laws. Mm. So again, so here we are, January 7, 1982, 5 months away from the birth of Basir. I had left work for home. When I arrived, Manjeet, of course, sensed immediately something had happened because, you know, it was unusual for me to come home early. Words cannot describe, you know, the anguish and grief that befell Manjeet, a young woman expecting to share the experience of raising her child with her mother. It was then that the magnitude of what had occurred a couple of days earlier hit me, and I grieved as well. Much more became known later about Mama Shidroch's courage and optimism, about her refusal to recant her belief in Baha'u'llah as the manifestation of God for this day, about the respect and admiration she received from so many. As the Universal House of Justice wrote that her martyrdom was significant, they said. They further wrote, "History will ever extol exemplary courage, resolute faith, one who sacrificed her life, threshold her beloved," unquote. So in the weeks that followed her martyrdom, Manjeet showed tremendous courage and determination herself. She single-handedly actually organized a memorial in the hotel next door and personally invited many dignitaries of the city, including the mayor and his wife. The room was filled to capacity. Before our son Basir was born in June of 1982, she gave her first interview on Dutch television, describing the plight of the Baha'is of Iran and memorializing the courage spirit, the courageous spirit of her mother, my Mama Shidroch. And in closing, I always remember that her love is with us all the days of our lives and is reflected in the spirits of our sons, Basir and Nadine. So with that, I'd like to conclude my little story, and if you have any questions, I'll try and do my best.
Very good. I'm really grateful. It was wonderful just listening to you. You took one of these questions that keeps popping up in most everybody's mind is, what would you say or how would you speak to Shidroch, if I may ask you, if she was here present right now?
I'm a man of very few words, so I don't think I would say much. But she's often in my mind and in my prayers. So, and we're grateful for all her support that she gives us from the Upper Kingdom.
How wonderful, how true. Wouldn't you agree and say that her greatest wish would be for the greater unity of all? I think she was a unifier, a peacemaker, and loved the feeling of being at peace and being united. For us, for me at least, she's a great example of that feeling. So I think that Manushijan had founded rightfully, I fully understand and feel for her. She had found it extremely difficult to speak about her mom and the whole issue. And yet, just a few nights ago, on her own volition, with her own free will, she offered and did this fantastic, wonderful interview.
So,
God, you did
anyway,
it so well.
But, well, this comes from the heart, and it's having internalized all the events, although I'm not good in memorizing dates and and when exactly everything happened, but you know, I have to look those up. But I know the sequence, and it's an incredible story. You know, also because at the time we were living in Holland, and it also touched my parents a lot. I think, particularly my father, who contacted his friends in the ministries in Holland and said, "What can we do for the Baha'is in Iran?" and encouraged them to take steps for the government to protest with the Iranian government that, you know, this is genocide, this is not right, this is unlawful, this is against human dignity and rights to just kill people because of what they believe, and particularly if they're peace-loving people such as the Baha'is. So.
God bless your father. Yeah. Touch.
Will do. Take care. Thank you so much for taking this on. And
oh, my pleasure.
We'll see you
my
soon.
My honor.
Take
and
care.
Beauty. God bless.
Allah
Thank you so much. Allah Hafa.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.